Anyone can create this pyramid of white light and surround themselves with it. If created in this way, any discreative energies which come near the pyramid will be returned to the universe to be transformed into creative and constructive energies. Any discreative energies within the pyramid will be bathed in this white light and will automatically be converted into harmonious, constructive and creative energies. Visualize the entire pyramid completely enveloped and full of this white light. And all discreative energies within could be visualized as darkness in the light. Simply see the light changing the darknesses, raising the darkness to the light, or turning the darkness into light. In turn, the darkness becomes light and is no longer discreative, but is again constructive energy which is returned to the universe for constructive and creative purposes. All have the ability to create this white light energy around them. They need only affirm to themselves the desire to do this. They must truly want this in order to believe it. For if the individual is not firmly of the belief of what they desire, there will be limited success with this. I have heard people say that you should ask for protection in the name of Jesus. Is this as effective? That is accurate. It is in fact entirely the same principle at work here, simply different ways of stating this principle. There are many ways this energy could be directed thusly, according to the individual's religious beliefs. However, many are aligned with one particular manner more so than another. It is simply a matter of appropriateness and personal preference. It is entirely up to the individual as to how effective any one manner would be. We would say again that you, yourselves, are the creators. Conversations with a spirit you find around you, that which has been created by you. Therefore, that which you find is indeed real, even those things which you say are imagined. For the imagination is in all reality the palette of your creations. Therefore, that which you can imagine is indeed real. Be it physical or mental in nature, it is indeed real. These evil creatures, as you call them, are indeed real to those who would create them in their mind. There are those who do not believe in such, and therefore they do not exist. However, it would be wrong to say that they are not real to the individuals who believe in them, for indeed they are real. It is that ability of yours to create what you wish that is even more important now than it was previously. It is essential that you be aware of this power, this ability to create what you will. For in so doing you have the very real choice of creating that which would be good or that which would be evil. It is entirely up to the individual as to the reality they create. We enjoy these times when we can commune. This was the way it was at one time before on your planet, when all could converse as freely as we do now. However, there was that time of the fall. None were spared the fall. We are victims as yourselves of the fall. A somber seriousness, and we feel you know of what we speak. We in the Christian religion have always associated the term the fall with the angel, Lucifer, being cast out of heaven by God. This supposedly gave him dominion over earth and created the belief in Satan and evil. This was the time when the knowledge was lost, and the consciousness turned down, so to say, towards the earth, and this higher energy plane was disregarded and discarded. So you can see from a strictly analogical standpoint there was a definite fall of consciousness from the higher plane to the more base earth plane. There was not, as has previously been felt, a surge of evil present when this fall occurred. It was simply that the attention of those inhabitants was shifted from the higher to the lower planes, so to say. This is what is meant by the fall. This is not a right or wrong judgment. It is simply a fact which is in the realm of truth. So you can see that when you lose your sight of who and what you are, Satan, possession and demons, D.S., then you would tend to wander, as humanity has done on this planet for many millennia now. It was simply a forgetting of the true identity, a lowering of the consciousness, so to say, and forgetting that all are truly part of the whole. I think the main thing is to get this idea of heaven and hell straightened out for people. That would be a most difficult task. The people have been fairly brainwashed. Were these concepts in the Bible originally? No. One reference that is used is the description that Jesus gave of Gehenna, Jewish name for hell, and the lake of fire. He was trying to describe the condition you are in when you cross over to the spirit side and you are surrounded by negative influences. but the people listening to him took him literally and thought he was speaking of a real place. At another time Jesus said, "This day shalt thou see me in paradise," when he was being executed. He is referring to the fact that after they died they would transcend over to the spirit side of life, and it would be at that plane called paradise. I was trying to think of another part in the Bible where it talks of somebody who is in hell or something. And they were asking someone to get them out. I was having difficulty remembering this passage on the spur of the moment. The Spirit said, "If you would just touch my lips with a drop of water." Yes, that Spirit was in the middle of mental torment which would cause a condition which on the physical plane could be likened to fever. It also means that particular negative energies were around this Spirit. When he said to touch his lips with but a drop of water, he was actually asking for a bit of wisdom to help him dissipate these negative energies. And the wisdom would act as a soothing balm. So he could understand and escape from that condition. Now the churches have brought up that part of the Bible several times and say this is a permanent condition that he couldn't get out of. They use it as an example of burning in hell. Yes, but it was not a permanent condition. He was at that time going around in a mental circle and could not break out of that chain of events, so he could dissipate the negative conversations with the spirit energies. So he was asking for a bit of wisdom to help him see how he could work his way out of it. D. I was trying to remember if Jesus talks about heaven anywhere in the Bible. I know there was one part about heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's the only thing that comes to mind right now. S. He was just speaking of the physical universe. He was saying that the teaching of his words had to do with the higher levels that would still exist regardless of the destruction of this particular universe, because there are other universes as well, and the higher levels will always exist. D. I think it is very important that people understand that these are not real physical places that they have to go to. That concept seems so limiting, it's depressing. S. Yes, that is true. They do need to understand that reincarnation is not a polar opposite to their Christian religion, as they seem to believe. D. I try to tell them it is really just a philosophy. That's what I have been told. It is a way of thinking and not a religion in itself. S. Yes. People who are dogmatic about their philosophy or religion lose sight of how things really are. D. We hear a lot about ghosts and poltergeists. Would you have an explanation for those? S. Certainly, for we could be considered one were we to cause furniture to float and switches to go on and off. The terminology is simply applied to those spirit entities who have their consciousness focused to such a degree that they can cause manifestations on the physical level. This can be accomplished by many who are focused to that degree. Intense emotions such as anger, rage, or jealousy tend to focus the entire consciousness to such an extent that this is what happens. D. Are they trying to convey a message or something when they do these things? S. Not necessarily. Some simply enjoy the amusement and are thus entertaining themselves as well as those who are the targets of their mischief. This is not always the case, for you are well aware of the less enlightened individuals. D. I was thinking it would not be a very enlightened spirit who would want to play games like that. S. Always there is the playing of games, on this side as well as yours. This is simply another form of it. D. Even enlightened spirits might do these things. S. That is correct. There is the awakening of awareness, some conversations with the spirit D. S. D. S. D. S. D. S. times achieved through this activity. The term poltergeist is loosely ascribed to any spirit who manipulates physical objects. The delineation is not clarified, however, into intent. For often there is intent which is positive and helpful and good in doing this, because it enlightens the receivers of this energy to the fact that there are things which cannot be seen, which are real as the physical. But sometimes these things frighten people. Sometimes people frighten these things, too. Laughter, for we never know what the people will do. What about ghosts? The manifestation of many ghosts is nothing more than the projection of the energies of the individual who is seeing these apparitions. The individuals themselves are projecting these energies, which could perhaps be reflections of their own former lives or awareness of other spirit planes, and they are projecting these awareness down to a physical level. We wish not to convey that all ghosts are these projections. However, integrate this into your awareness that these are possibilities. That not all are true spirits but are sometimes mere projections of the individual who is perceiving this reality. Is this in the same way that we would perceive fairies, nymphs and that sort of thing? There are indeed those energies which are perceived as fairies and nymphs, however, these are not identical to that energy of which we speak. These are separate energies perceived by an individual, not projected from that individual. These projected energies are inherent and an intrinsic part of the individual which perceives them. There are many other possibilities of projection and perception. However, we speak here only of this one particular form of manifestation, that being a projection perception type of experience. Some people have seen what they think are ghosts in different places reenacting scenes. They seem to be trapped in a moment in time. That is an excellent analogy. They are trapped in a moment in time. They are earthbound entities who are trapped in their own doings, so to say, and can find no release. For they are so directed in their energies that they can perceive nothing around them except that which they have focused ghosts and poltergeists I7IDSDSDSDSDS onto. And so they find themselves in a vicious circle, so to say, destined to repeat the same set of circumstances which put them there in the first place, until there is the awakening. The people in physical form can help and assist these individuals much more ready than we who are on the spirit. Although these ghosts are also spirit, their consciousness and awareness is locked into the physical and this is all they can perceive. So they cannot see those spirits around them who are attempting to guide them to their truth, to enlighten them and release them from their misery. This is an instance where the physical is most capable of helping the spiritual. Sometimes they don't seem to be aware of the physical people who are watching them. That is correct, for oftentimes they are so locked into their own energy they see nothing around them, even physical, except their own energy. Would poltergeist cases sometimes be this type of energy? Not true. That is not correct. For poltergeists move physical objects and are aware of their consequences. They are aware of the physical surroundings. It is true a poltergeist may be locked onto the earth energy. However, it is not true to say that those who are locked into the earth energy are always poltergeists. I thought maybe they were trying to get the attention of the people around them by creating disturbances in this way. That is correct. That is often the case. It is simply to get the attention of those around them, whether it be for amusement or ego gratification. But sometimes a poltergeist can harm people by its actions. I've heard of them starting fires. That is correct. We wish not to imply that all poltergeists have only honorable intentions, for such is not the case. It may be more than attention, however, that they are seeking. It may be revenge, for instance. Usually there is a young child or someone about the age of puberty in the household, and there is a theory that somehow these entities use that energy in some way. This has not been fully explained, it is just a theory. We would say that these individuals who are reaching puberty act as their own poltergeist. For they are using 172 conversations with the spirit energies of which they are not aware. And so they create the activity themselves, as is often the case but not always. D. But they are not consciously aware that they are doing that? S. That is correct. It is simply a manifestation of their own psychic talents and abilities which are brought on by the schism of the experience of going through puberty, which is manifested by this poltergeist activity. For much energy is directed when a person goes through this puberty experience. There is much change happening in the body which is then transferred to the mental and emotional planes as well as the spiritual. D. Then they are not doing it out of vengeance on the family or anything like that. S. That is correct. It is simply a way of releasing energy. Pent up emotions are directed and the energy is then released as poltergeist activity. D. It would be good to try to explain this because some people are afraid of this activity. S. It is understandable that they are afraid of it. for it would imply that there are spirits about who would wish them harm. As we said before, this is sometimes the case. It, however, is not always the case. D. If someone were confronted by poltergeist activity that was harmful, how could they make it stop? S. As mentioned earlier, challenge in the name of God these entities which seem to be causing this. And as in the case of possession, send them on their way by God or Jesus' name. If the entities are harmful, then there is adequate protection in Jesus' name. If they wish only enlightenment, then please accept this as such and try to remain or become enlightened. D. Is there such a thing as an earthbound spirit? S. In perhaps a deeper or yet more profound sense than is commonly held. An earthbound spirit is someone who has had many problems and does not want to admit that they can be released. D. Do you mean they love life so much they don't want to leave the earth? S. It is either that case, or someone here on earth is tying them so hard that they can't leave. Every time you grieve for someone who is gone, you tie that person a little closer to being ghosts and poltergeists. I 73 earthbound. Grief has its place, but excessive grieving is bad for both the person who is doing the grieving, and the one they are grieving about. There is no reason to grieve for that person. Most of them are very happy in what they have seen on this side. D. Then by grieving and hanging on to them, you hold them to the earth, and this is not good. Most people would not realize that. Another version, D. I've heard that there are such things as earthbound spirits. What happens in a case like that? S. That's a confusing matter. Usually what has happened is that they are spiritually sleepwalking. They are still conscious of the physical plane and they notice that something is different, but they can't quite figure it out. On a spiritual plane it appears that they are sleepwalking. They can sleepwalk for what may appear to be a very long time to you, in the form of earthbound spirits or ghosts or what have you. But after a while they'll wake up and realize that they are on a spiritual plane and they have other things to go on to. D. Why are they confused? Is it a sudden death or something similar that makes this happen? S. Usually it is because the subconscious has misjudged the amount of time left for working out a particular aspect of karma. The subconscious might have been expecting a longer amount of time, and when it is cut short it takes longer for the mind to reorient itself. D. Do these earthbound spirits hang around where they used to live or would they mostly travel around on the earthly plane? S. They tend to remain in areas they were familiar with. Probably because they are trying to figure out what is going on. Since they are sleepwalking, it is mainly their spiritual subconscious trying to straighten things out so that the spiritual conscious can switch back on, so to speak. D. Do they ever try to get back into a physical body while in that state? S. Not often. Occasionally they will try, but the spirit that is there will block them and they will realize that it can't be done. It would be like bumping into somebody on the I-74 conversations with a spirit sidewalk. After that happens a few times they begin to wake up and quit sleepwalking. D. Can't they be helped to realize what is going on when they are in that kind of a state? S. When they are deep into this spiritual sleepwalking it is very difficult to reach them. Sometimes they just have to be given time until they can be contacted and helped to wake up quicker. D. I have heard stories of spirits that hang around taverns or around people who are drinking or using dope or things like that. I suppose it is because they want the sensations from it. Have you heard of cases like that? S. I mentioned earlier about the period of transition. Some spirits, especially those who have attracted much negative influences to themselves, generally have a difficult period of transition because they don't want to give up the physical sensation of things. It is usually the strong, exotic sensations such as from the various drugs that are in use in your society, alcohol, nicotine, heroin or what have you. So these spirits who are in transition stay around people who experience these things regularly to try to absorb their feelings, their physical sensations from it. They try to enjoy themselves vicariously. Vicarious is an interesting word and especially fitting when used in this case. The dictionary defines it as, taking the place of another. Endured or performed by one person in place of another. Felt by imagined participation in another's experience, as, a vicarious thrill. He could not have chosen a more appropriate word to describe the meaning he was trying to convey. D. Do you think these spirits realize they have died? S. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Many times, yes, they realize they have died, but they are hoping that they will be able to re-enter the physical plane immediately. They are still in the period of transition and they don't realize how things have to be balanced yet. Others honestly may not know that they have died and they are trying to participate in physical things as they did when they were alive. They don't realize that humans can't perceive them. Finally, it soaks through that ghosts and poltergeists they have died. When they realize this, then they become aware of the spiritual plane and they finish their period of transition. D. They might think that what is here on earth is all there is. S. Yes. Such spirits do think that at first, but the longer they stay dead the more aware they become of the spiritual plane, simply because of a matter of vibrational attraction. During the period of transition sometimes this type of spirit cannot immediately perceive the helper who has come. They cannot immediately see or sense them because they are still too strongly attuned to the physical plane. D. What happens with these spirits who seem to want to stay around Earth? S. In those cases the spirits seem to be pulled back to Earth. They are the ones that are taking a longer time adjusting to the spiritual plane they have attained. They have their mental constructs of scenes that they are familiar with. They don't grow beyond that and they use it as a crutch. So it tends to make them stay close to the physical plane. These souls sometimes need help. Many times they inadvertently did something negative to their karma and they don't want to deal with that fact. They are afraid of what they might see when they throw away their mental crutch of these constructs. D. They want to stay with what's familiar to them. S. Right. Out of fear. If they continue to stay close to the physical plane their vibrations stay sympathetic enough with the physical plane to where sometimes there may be echoes of themselves on the physical plane. As an echo is to sound, but it would be an echo of energy. This would explain some of the ectoplasmic appearances that have been recorded on your plane, what you call ghosts and such phenomena. D. They are not really the spirit. They are just an echo of that spirit that would remain around the house or whatever. S. Yes, perhaps the spirit on the other side of the barrier is using a mental construct of a house. When he first crossed over, the spirit would have pictured home, for example, to help him adjust to this new phase of life. Whenever they picture a particular house that is their home, they are just seeing it and themselves being in the house. But realizing or maybe conversations with a spirit not realizing that spirit is afraid to go on, and so he keeps hanging on to this picture of home as a crutch because it is familiar. He is scared to leave and so he stays within this one house. That is why these spiritual echoes, which you call ghosts, are usually seen in such a limited area. Because they are using this one mental image to hang on to, much like an infant hanging on to a pacifier. Since crossing over the barrier is an individual experience, they have closed their minds to their surroundings because they are using this mental construct as a crutch. In a sense, they are alone to themselves because they have closed themselves within this illusion of home. They don't see that there are other spirits waiting there to help them complete their adjustment. It is as if they have closed their eyes and stopped up their ears, and they are only thinking about home. So in effect, they are alone and so the echo reflects this by being unaware of other people in the surroundings. The live occupants of the earthly house can see the ghost, but it seems oblivious of them. D. Does that mean they keep reliving this in their mind or what? S. Yes. They're holding this one picture in their mind that for some reason means a lot to them. They are just concentrating on this one picture. Usually that happens in cases when the spirit is very scared and has not adjusted to crossing over. So they lock onto this one memory, this one moment in time from their most recent life. Their mind is locked onto it and is visualizing it, and so the spiritual echo goes through the same actions over and over again, as a result of echoing what they are thinking about. It would be like, on your plane, when someone has an irrational fear and they have a lucky word that they consider to be a charm. They repeat it over and over to help ward off this fear. It is that type of situation. D. Sometimes the scene is a murder or something violent that has occurred, and other people see it as ghosts acting out a scene over and over again. S. Right. The spirit may be visualizing a particular building as his mental construct and will be hanging onto it. And he may be visualizing a particular action that took place during his most recent life. Sometimes the action may involve another person and he's visualizing this other person, too. Ghosts and poltergeists. I-77-D-S-D-S-D-S, that explains why people on your plane sometimes see two ghosts interacting with each other in the same scene over and over. It is part of this memory that this soul is using as a crutch. If it is negative, does that make it more powerful? Usually this occurs when the soul is not reacting well to the transition and is interpreting it as a negative experience. It is the force of fear that causes them to do this. Usually when the soul crosses over and realizes that the level of karma they have attained this time has been in a negative direction, they don't want to complete the transition because they are scared of what they will see. Meanwhile their minds will lock onto this source of the fear, and it might be the very scene from the life that caused their karma to develop in a negative direction. That is all they can focus on. They don't realize that things are balanced on the spiritual plane. Even though they may go to a lower plane than they were before, it is not designed to cause pain or torture. It is just a matter of a place compatible with them so that they can develop further. But people do have experiences with the ghosts or spirits of someone who has passed over. They come and talk to them and give them messages. Would this be the same thing? No. Usually whenever people interact with a spirit that has come back to give them a message, it is usually their guide trying to contact them. If people are advanced enough to be able to handle this aspect of life, their guides will contact them in this manner to help them and give them advice in a more direct way. You mean it is not actually the spirit of their loved one or whoever? Sometimes it is, if the loved one is on hand to help out. And they usually do want to help out because people remain karmically linked across several lifetimes. Even though the loved one has already passed over to the other side for a little while, they are still karmically linked with this person because they will undoubtedly be interacting in a future life, so they are willing to try to help. Many times their guide will contact some loved one on the other end. Together they work to help this loved one cast an echo of themselves across conversations with a spirit, the barrier to this person, in order to deliver a message. D. Then they don't actually journey back themselves, they just send an echo back? S. Right. It is a similar process as these other spirits use who have first crossed over, but this process is under control and done deliberately. They calm their mind to get themselves in the right mental state, but it is a positive experience and they cast a spiritual echo of themselves onto the physical plane. Sometimes they have to do it several times before the person on the physical plane begins to perceive this. That is why sometimes before a person perceives what they call a ghost or a spirit, other odd events will happen first. They are already projecting, they are just trying to get the person's attention turned toward that aspects of things so they would be more apartment to perceive the spiritual echo. D. Sometimes people say spirits come back and give them some advice that they need, or they will tell them not to grieve for them, different things like that. S. Yes, because excessive grief can hold you back in developing your karma. You need to realize that you will be running across this person again that you miss so deeply and are grieving so hard for. You are not parted forever. It is just a temporary separation and you need to put that behind you and continue with your own growth so you will be ready for your next life. D. But if the person wants to give them some advice, they are able to project themselves to tell them these things. S. Right. The guides and these people work together on this to give them advice that they may need at a particular time in their lives. D. Do you mean the guide may also appear to the person as resembling the loved one? S. No. He will get a loved one to cast their echo. There is usually at least one on the other side, usually more. D. The guide never takes on this form to deliver a message? S. No. Sometimes the guide will deliver a message himself and the person will report having seen an angel or some other unknown celestial being. A regressed subject who was experiencing an in-between lives spirit state gave the following description of an activity at one of the schools. S. The closest analogy is that I am attending a lecture. It is a situation of learning, where one of us who has experienced something is telling the others so we may all learn from it. I suppose you could say that I am attending a lecture. D. What are they lecturing about?